Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of John. John in chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 27 through 42. John chapter 4, verses 27 through 42. And there is only one Savior. There's only one Lord and Savior. That's the title of this morning's message. We see in this scripture this morning that Jesus was always in control of all of the circumstances, no matter what happens. He's in the control of circumstances. There was always a great, great impact on people's lives. Control of circumstances, impact on people's lives. There's always a relationship. There is great insight, much insight. And at the end of it all, there's a lasting impression. So we look at control of the circumstances when we talk about a Savior. We look at impacting people's lives. We look at a relationship. We look at great insight. And then lasting impressions. And when you think about that, some context to this passage of Scripture is the fact that Jesus met this woman at the well. She had no idea who he was. Then she found out who he was. And when she found out, this is where we are now. Verse 27. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "Why did you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out to the city and were coming to him. In the meantime, the disciples were requesting him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." And the disciples, therefore, brought him to another one, saying, "No one brought him anything to eat, did they?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have earned into their labor." And from that the city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." When we go back up to verse 27, and we talk about control of circumstances. Up to this point, Jesus had this great conversation with the woman. He said to her, back up into that chapter, he said in verse 13, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again." He was speaking about the water from the well. But, in verse 14, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." And so now this woman, she really didn't understand that. In verse 15, she said, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw." And he said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come here." Now, that's important because when the woman went to the people, she said, he told me everything about me. He told me everything about me. Right? So what did he tell her about her? Well, he said, go call your husband. And what did she say? The woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, because she said, I have no husband. She said, I have no husband. And he said, you have said well. He said, you're right. I have no husband. For you have had five husbands. So she's had five husbands. And then the man that she was living with was not her husband. So when she goes to them, and then she said, I perceive you're a prophet. How could he know this? How did he know this? Well, how did he know it? He was God. He knows everything. He knew everything about this woman. He was in total control of everything that was going on at all times. The only Savior there is Jesus, and he was always in total control because he was God. So people like to question that. Well, if he was in total control, why did he allow them to capture him? Why did he allow them to put him on the cross? Why did he? Well, that was part of the plan. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice, and Jesus was that sacrifice. Always in total control. And so in verse 28, so the woman left her water pot. She left and went into the city and said to them, come and see a man, in verse 29, who told me all the things I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? That is the type of impact that Jesus has on people's lives. When you come to know Jesus, your life changes. How does it change? What did she do? What did she do? She left her water pot. She went into the city and said, come and see a man who told me all things. There was such an impact on her life that she went out into the city and told other people. Normally, that's what happens when we have a personal relationship with Christ. There's an impact that it makes, and we tell somebody, or we tell multiple people. Very rarely does someone have their life transformed and they don't say anything. And that's impossible. Could you imagine having your life totally transformed and not saying a word to anybody that anything's changed? If your life is really transformed, you wouldn't have to tell people. They're going to see that there's a difference. They're going to see a difference. They may approach you and say, wow, you know, you seem different. You've changed. I want what you want. Years ago, I think it was the first church that I ever pastored in a small little town in Tennessee. And a lady came to me and said, you know, I've noticed something different about another lady. I noticed something different about her. And the lady she said I know something different about was very shy. She would have a hard time, you know, around people, but she was very kind, very gentle. And she said, I noticed something different about her. She's changed. And I want to know what happened to her, because she seems so different. She used to be one way, and now she's another. And I said, well, did you ask her? Why don't you go ask her what happened? Why don't you ask her why she's changed? And she did. And, you know, she came back and said, well, she told me she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Here's what she didn't do. She didn't come back and say, well, she started going to church because she realized she needed to go to church. Or she went to some revival meeting and they had an invitation and she came forward and signed the card. Or she became a member of such and such church because her family was always a member of that church. Now, what she said was she changed because she gave her life to Christ as Lord and Savior, and that changed her. That impacted her life in a way internally that what was happening outwardly drew somebody else to her. She didn't have to be the greatest speaker, the greatest evangelist, the greatest missionary, the greatest at anything. But her life changed. She was transformed from the inside, because that's where the transformation takes place. Transformation takes place from the inside, and then it works out of you. What's inside comes out. Right? If there's junk in, junk comes out. If the spirit's within, then the spirit comes out. If you have a filthy mouth, that's because that's what's inside of you. If you speak like Christ, that's because that's what's inside of you. What comes in always comes out. And so what happened here with this woman was this. She was impacted by Christ. She was impacted by Christ to the point that she went into the city and she said, come and see a man in verse 29 who told me all things that I have done. He told me everything that I did. How could he know that? We have these crazy people out there today that can predict your future for $5. You can go on Route 10, Route 46. For $5 or $10, you can go see someone and they're going to tell you all about your future. They're going to tell you. You're going to give them your hand and they're going to look at your hand and they're going to tell you what every little line means in your hand. And that's amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? How many really believe that? And if you believe that, then see me after church because I have a piece of property that I need to sell you. So, and I have friends, I've heard stories. I went to so-and-so, and how did they know this, and how did they know that? I don't know. And I talked to so-and-so who was dead for 20 years, or I did this, and I did that. The funny thing about all that is, none of it is in Scripture. None of it is in Scripture. And what God's Word is telling us here is that she said, I saw a man who told me everything about me. And then, come and see him. Is this the Christ? So that's the impact. That's the impact. Verse 30 says, they went out to the city, and they were coming to him. And in the meanwhile, the disciples were requesting with him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know about. And the disciples, therefore, were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? So they're wondering, like, he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. And they're looking at each other saying, did you bring him food? Did you bring him food? I didn't bring him food. Who brought him food? What food is he talking about? I don't see any food. There's no food here. I have food to eat that you don't know about. You don't know about this. And then he tells them about his relationship. And that's what... relationship with him. Here's what he says in verse 34. My food, I have food to eat that you guys don't know about. Here's what my food is, he says in verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's my food. That's what I eat on. Is to do the will of the Father who sent me. That's the type of relationship that Christ had with the Father. His whole focus throughout his entire ministry, throughout his entire life on earth, was to do the will of the Father. That's his food. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And that really should be our goal, our responsibility as individual Christians and as the church. We should be focused on accomplishing what he wants, doing his work. Accomplishing what he wants, doing his work. Not our own agenda, but what he wants, doing his work. And then he says in verse 35, do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. So he's saying, hey, don't say in 4 months the harvest will be here. He's saying, look right now. The harvest is here now. Okay? It's here now. Look. Look on the fields. They are white for harvest. They're white. Right now is the time. It's not 2 months from now. It's not 3 weeks from now. It's right now. It's right now. Because that was his special insight into things. He saw things differently. And as we get to develop our relationship with Christ, we should be seeing things differently. We should be thinking things differently. Our attitude should be different. Our speech should be different. Our actions should be different. Don't say in 4 months and then comes the harvest. I'm saying to you now, look on the fields. They are white for the harvest. Already in verse 36, he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the one saying is true. One sows and another reaps. And I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. So that's the great insight that he has there. I've sent you. You haven't done as much as them, but you're still reaping. You know, you've heard the term, you reap what you sow. If you don't sow anything, you don't grow anything. If you don't sow anything, you don't get anything. If you don't put something in, you shouldn't get something back. But if you do labor and you do put in and you do reap, okay, you get your reward. That's in every aspect, in every facet of life. Very rarely do you not do anything and get something. But yet it's funny, in the world we live in, a lot of people like to do nothing and get something. We like to do the least amount and get the most, right? We always want to pay the cheapest and get the best. Everybody does. You go buy a car, I want to pay nothing, but I want the Mercedes. I want to pay as little as possible for the best car. We're always looking for a deal, right? We always want a deal. We want to pay little and get a lot, get value. So that's the insight that Christ is giving here. And then as we look at what happened here with the Samaritans in verse 39, and from that city, because of everything that happened, because of that woman when Jesus first met her at the well, everything that transpired between, if you went to verse 7 in John chapter 4, if you go to verse 7 and you read that whole story, verse 39 takes us to, and from that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. Many believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. And what did she say? He told me all things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they were asking him to stay with them. So they were definitely impacted. So they asked him, Jesus, stay with us. Stay with us. And he stayed there, the Bible says, 2 days. Now, think about it. Jesus stayed with them for 2 days. And then, what do we have here? He stays for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. So you could be saved and invite your friend, or you try to convince your friend and tell them all of the Bible verses and do all of the witnessing, and they're convinced because of what you said. But at the end of it all, a person's only going to come to know Christ because they believe. Not because their mother believes or their father believes or because they grew up going to this church or that church. They're only going to come to know Christ because of what the Holy Spirit does in their mind. You don't become a Christian because everybody in your family goes to such and such a church. You become a Christian when you believe on your own, individually. And when that happens, your life is changed. When that happens, I don't know anybody who's ever truly become a Christian who was embarrassed about it, or ashamed about it, or didn't want to tell their family about it, or was worried about somebody who was not going to talk to them because it happened to them. You know, back in the day, it was a little different than it is today, obviously. And I know when I became a Christian growing up in a Catholic family, first of all, when I became a Christian, I could care less what anybody thought. I couldn't care less what my mother thought, my father thought, or anybody, or my uncles, or my cousins, or anybody else. You know, you grow up in that type of an environment, the big family, you're at everybody's house, and you live like that. But when God changes your life, I could care less about what anybody thought. That may not sound pretty, but that's just the way it was. Because it was real. It wasn't, oh, I'm just going to go to church and someone convinced me of something, or someone manipulated me, or someone, you know, we've all been convinced of something that wasn't true, right? Is that fair? Right? We've all been convinced of something that wasn't true. We've all made a bad investment, right? Has everybody in here made a bad investment? Has anybody made a bad investment, right? We've all made some decisions that we made because we convinced ourselves it was the right thing, but it was the wrong thing. When you become a Christian, it's not because you got convinced into it, you got manipulated into it. It's because the Holy Spirit has opened up your mind to the truth. And then you see, when your mind gets opened up to the truth, it's humbling. Because the first thing that the Holy Spirit opens up your mind to the truth about is, how is God? Jesus, but then me, us, you. He opens up your mind to the truth about yourself. And that is a humbling thing, because nobody really wants to hear the truth about themselves, right? Just think about everybody who's ever said anything that isn't kind about you. If it was true, would you want to hear it? Would you want the world to know it? If your life was played back in front of you on a Rolodex, and all of the bad moments of your life just kept replaying and replaying, would you want to see it? No, we'd want to burn that. We want to make sure it never got published. We want to make sure it never got out on the internet. We want to make sure it never got on, you know, all of those social media things that are out there. So when the Holy Spirit reveals the truth about yourself, that is what starts it. And that's called conviction of sin. That's conviction of sin. Problem in our world today is not too many people are convicted of their sin. We're real good at, as people, we're real good at it talking about other people's sins. We're very good at pointing the finger and calling each other names and all of that. We see it every day on television. We're good at that. Matter of fact, we may be the best in the world at that. We may have the best people in the world who are good at calling people names. We have grown-ups, professional, degreed, attorneys, judges, lawyers, politicians. We are great at calling each other names, at being great at being mean and nasty. Aren't we? Yeah, we are. We're real good at it. We're also good at being phonies and hypocrites. We're the best in the world at that, too. You know what also we're the best in the world at? We're bad salesmen. Bad salesmen. You know what you ever go buy a car and have a bad salesman try to sell you a car? Right? Well, what happens is, when you see yourself as you are, you'll see that. You'll see that. And when true change comes, it's a lasting change. It isn't change for 2 years or 3 years or a year and a half. It isn't change because you met someone. It's changed because your life has changed and you're willing to lose everything because your life has changed. Because you're a different person and you have a focus. Understand this. There's more people out there that claim to be Christians that are not Christians that are Christian. And why? Because today it's very, what is the word called? It's very vogue. It's very in to say I'm a Christian. Where are people all the time? They call them, they say they're Christian. But you can never tell they're Christian other than the fact that they say they're Christian. Other than that, you can never tell. And there's no impact on anyone else's life. Because if all someone does is talk and there's no walk, there's no impact. There's no impact. If all someone does is talk without the walk, that means all it is words but no actions, it's hard to impact someone else's life. And so when this woman was changed. She was changed because she had a personal relationship with Christ. She was changed because it was personal. It wasn't changed because she went with a group. It was changed because it was a personal relationship with Christ. And she was impacted so much that she told other people. And because she told other people, they started to be inquisitive. They spent time with Jesus. And then they believed, not because of what she said, because of what they experienced in themselves. And it's funny because normally when people come to know Christ, they come to know Christ not because they walked into a building on Sunday and heard a message and said, you know what, I think I'm going to come to know Christ. Most people come to know Christ because they know someone who knows Christ. And the people that they know who know Christ are making an impact on their life or maybe are influencing them. And so what happens is then little by little, they're drawn closer and closer and closer. And then they start to see it for themselves. Watch it for themselves. Believe it for themselves. Right? We have to believe it ourselves before it can happen. I mean, this is kind of silly, but last night Penn State was playing Indiana in football. Right? And this is talking about you have to see it for yourself. So there was 2 minutes left in the game, and Penn State was winning by 1 point, 21-20. Sonia and I were meeting some people. We left because I said the game's over. They're going to run the clock out. And I left, and we picked up a friend of ours, and he thought the same thing that I did, that the game was over and that they won 21-20. And later in the night, I looked at my watch because it beeped and it said Indiana beat Penn State 36-35. And I said to my friend, hey, they just won 30. Can you believe they won 36-35? He said, there's no way, that's impossible. That's what it says. No way. He said, there's no way that could have happened. I left and there was a minute to go in the game and it was 21-20. It was a minute left. How could they have possibly done that? There's no way. And then someone else brought over a computer, put on the highlight. Point is, had to see it for themselves. Had to see it, not that he didn't believe me, but obviously he had to see it for themselves. When you come to know Christ, it's not because someone's convincing you to come to know Christ. And when you do, and listen, I'm not interested in anybody's opinion on this. And when you do, then you're saved. When you come to know him on your own. But if you come to know Christ, if you say that you come to know Christ as Lord and Savior and your life doesn't change, then I don't know if you have come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. If you just do the same thing over and over again and live the same way over and over again and you claim that you know Christ personally as Lord and Savior, then my question to you would be, when did your life change? How has it changed? And please don't say, well, now I go to church more. Because there's plenty of people who are lost and going to hell that go to church, but don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And that's the question. If we have friends or if we have family, that's the question. You notice we don't ever talk about those things around people. We don't want to talk around, we don't want to talk about politics because we don't know what anybody else believes. Or because if we do, everybody just starts yelling and screaming. We don't want to talk about heaven or hell because we don't want to offend anybody. But here's the bottom line, people. Life is a lot shorter than you and I may think it is. And we can breathe our last breath at any time. No one's guaranteed to live to 80, 85, or 90. None of us are. But we've wasted so much time. And this is for us, for our little group. You know what? We're wasting time if we're not sharing the gospel. If all we're worried about is what we're doing for ourselves, we're wasting time. And we're making no impact on anybody. And there's no lasting impression. At the end of the day, we should want to have a lasting impression on people's lives. And the lasting impression should be what? Oh, they were funny. They were crazy. They had a lot of money. Remember when we did this? No, the lasting impression should be we help someone know that when they breathe their last breath, that they're going to be in heaven. And when you know that, you live a peaceful life. It's peaceful when you know that. There's joy when you know that. You can live through the disaster we're living through without getting angry and know that. The reality is it doesn't matter who wins November 3rd. It doesn't matter because God's in control of it all anyway. Now we can say, well, it does because of this, and we can come up with all of the speaking points about why it does matter. In the world that we live in, which we're strangers of. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter because God's in control. What do you think God favors? Here's who God favors. He favors those who listen to his word and do what his word says. That's who he favors. God's for Trump. God's for Biden. God's for people who know his son as Lord and Savior, who are adopted into his family, who read his word and do what it says. That's who God favors. That's who God favors. And so right now, if you know Christ, then you should be making an impression on people's lives. If you don't know Christ, you don't come to know Christ because someone's convincing you of it. You have to have a first-hand relationship. It's got to be a first-hand relationship. Right. Couldn't believe it went from 21:20 to 36:35. Hard to believe he had to see it for himself. Right. I'm not going to believe what you tell me about what it takes for me to have peace and go to heaven unless I can experience that myself. I'm not going to get convinced or manipulated. I'm going to experience it myself. And how we experience it ourselves is when we're open and when we're seeking and when we want to know the truth. If what you believe is true was a lie, would you want to know the truth? And I would say yes. If what I believe to be true is a lie, then I want to know the truth. And I grew up for years not even believing it. I grew up for years, you know, didn't believe it, couldn't understand why is it that I need to go see someone and tell him what I did wrong when now I understand what the Bible says. If what you believe is a lie, would you want to know the truth? Do you want to know the truth? The truth about everything. We all want to know the truth. We talk to our kid, just tell me the truth. Right? I can't tell you how many times I've said that in my lifetime. If I have a nickel for every time I said, just tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. And the truth isn't what we decide the truth is. There's only one truth. See this? See these words? This is truth. If you don't believe this is truth, then you don't believe in God. If you don't believe that this is real and everything in it is true, then you don't believe in God. You can't. It's impossible. Because they're His words. Every word in here from the beginning to the end is perfect, is true. There is no error in this word. There's no error in this word. And so you can't believe some of it and not the other part. You can't believe about Moses parting the Red Sea and not believe about Noah. You can't believe about Jonah, and you can't believe about Malachi and not believe about Abraham. You believe it all or you don't believe any of it. Now, is it hard to understand? Is it mind-boggling? Of course it is. But you know what else is mind-boggling? Salvation is mind-boggling. How do you go from being one person to another? How do you go from being one person to being another? How do you go from being an atheist, who's someone who doesn't believe in God, to one of the most prolific writers of our day, who's someone who now does believe in God? You don't work yourself into that. You don't discipline yourself into that. You do that because there's a genuine transformation brought on by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the question to everybody is, if you say that you're a Christian, when did your life change? When did it change? That's the question. When did your life change and how did it change? I'll end with this. Years ago, we were in a group of about 50 men, and they were given testimony, and one of the men got up and asked for prayer. He asked for prayer, and he was about 40, may have been about 40, and he asked for prayer that we would pray that he stopped smoking pot, right? But he was a Christian. Said he was a Christian. Said, hey, can you pray? Yeah, brother, can you give us your name and tell us a little bit about yourself? And gave us his name and told us a little bit about himself. I'm a Christian, but you know, if I want you to help me, if you would pray that I could stop smoking pot, marijuana. Good, so, I said to him, when did you give your life to Christ? He said, well, I was like 19 or 20. I said, how old are you now? He said, oh, 38, 40. I don't remember if it was 38 or 40. So I said, how long have you been smoking pot? Oh, since I've been in high school. So 15, 16, 17, you're 40. But you gave your life to Christ at 20. Think about that. Started smoking pot in high school, gave your life to Christ at 20, and you're 40, and you're still smoking pot. So I'm going through that in my mind. I didn't say that to him like that. I said, so just explain to me. Not explain to him. I said, so just tell me, how has your life changed since the day that you said you gave your life to Christ? How has it changed? How did it change? And I'm really saying the same thing to everybody here today. How has it changed? He had no answer. No answer. No answer. Maybe just like some of you here today, dumbfounded. No answer. I almost cried. No answer. And you know, you want to know the beauty of that was? There again, for how many times? Well, let me explain to you what happens when you give your life to Christ. And I give this guy all the credit in the world. He said, I never experienced that or understood that. And he just broke down. And then he gave his life to Christ in front of like 50 guys. I'm just wondering, like, how many people in the church. See, you have to be down, you have to be hurting, you have to be real about yourself to be able to do something like that. But most people have too much pride to ever admit that they've been sitting in church for a long time and their life has never really changed. They got too much pride. They would rather die and go to hell than to acknowledge that. And let me tell you this, friends, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to die and go to hell because they have too much pride to acknowledge that. Because they think they're somewhere they're not. They haven't really experienced transformation. Because when you do, your life changes. You can't come to know Christ as Lord and Savior and your life not be impacted. Impacted to the point where you're going to talk to other people about it, tell other people about it. You're going to want to make sure people that are nearest and dearest to you know where you stand, know about it, and have an opportunity to learn and grow. And that's amazing, because that's the kind of impression that this one little, you know, it's not a little, there's no little stories in the Bible, because they all make great impact. They all have great influence. And so from this woman meeting Jesus at the well, having her life changed, you know, obviously she wasn't a saint. Obviously she had issues, the same way we all have issues, had issues, continue to have issues. You're either a saved sinner or you're an unbelieving sinner. You're either a believer who sins, you're either a Christian who sins, or you're a non-Christian who sins. But we're all sinners, okay? You're either a pastor who sins, or you're someone who's not a Christian who sins. Because we all sin. Every day, continually. We've all sinned, and we all fall short of God's glory. And the penalty, eternally, is death. That means eternal separation from God, but the gift we get is eternal life. And when you have eternal life, it only comes through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. It only comes by faith, our faith in Him, that we get the grace. That we get the grace. And when you have that, that's transformational. And when transformation takes place in our lives, there's an impact on other people's lives. No transformation, no impact. Okay? No change in your life, no really indication or truth that you do know Christ as Lord and Savior. Your life hasn't changed since the day you said you did something. Where's the proof that you actually did it? Well, I said it. Well, you said it. We say a lot of things that don't happen, don't we? We say a lot of things that are going to happen but don't really happen. So, I think for us as God's people, or those who claim to be God's people, we need to go back and ask ourselves, how has my life changed from that day that I said I did what I said I did? Evaluate it. When we do, we'll come up with the answer that God gives us, which is the right answer, and then we will be impactful and effective for Him. Let's pray.